Hey man, we'll go ahead and say a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in this lesson for tonight's training school. Father Yah, we just bless your name, and we honor you as always. And right now we seek wisdom and understanding, and we bless you for it in advance by the leading of your Spirit. We also declare that everything you reveal to us, that we will put it into action. And we bless you for the Son always, and acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior. And we just bless you again for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. I want to deal with some things in tonight's lesson, so that we can have an understanding as a church, and we the saints can be confident in the things that we discuss on tonight. I'm going to title this "The Lord Will Show Us." And there's a term that I heard that I want to pull up here and just give the definition of it based upon the internet, and we'll see what Yah has to say as a result of it. Let me pull it up here. Yeah, if y'all can see that, where it says here, what is a black swan event? And I'll see if I can enlarge it a little bit. Okay. I've been having people, before we deal with the definition, I've been having people over the years that will send me information about certain events that are going to happen within a few months or whatever. Matter of fact, you have people that are talking about, the eclipse that's coming up, I believe on April the 8th, and they're, talking about all these things that's going to happen, and then you have members of our nation members of our nation as well as other nations of people who are, relating it to Matthew 24, and I'll just read Matthew 24 just to show what they are referring to as far as the eclipse that's coming up. But Matthew 24 verse 29, Matthew 24 verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, to assume this is in reference to April the 8th is, I'm going to say it like I keep hearing it in the spirit. You may not have heard the word, and you may have. It's asinine. And what asinine is, basically in a nutshell, is just silly. And so there are a lot of things in here that that people overlook, but they go to the scriptures to try to prove what they believe is going to take place. But what we have learned to do is to allow the scriptures to interpret themselves. And in doing so, we see a whole lot of things that will clearly reveal to us that it has nothing to do with April the 8th, that eclipse. First of all, verse 29 said, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Well, you get people that think that the tribulation is in reference to the 400-year captivity that that Yah revealed to, you know, to Abraham, that his descendants would be in strange lands, you know, and after 400 years, the nation would be gathered. And so they associate tribulation with that, and think that our salvation as a nation is at hand as a result of it. And you get two forms of it. You get those who understand who we are as a nation of Israel. And then, well, I got to stop there because I don't know if you've been hearing about this, but President Putin has, you know, the president of Russia has opened up vaults showing ancient photos of who the basically children of Israel are, and the depiction of angels, and also pictures of Christ, and we know that we don't go by those images literally, but what it does show is that all those people who are in these pictures that they've been had for generations and generations, that hasn't been tampered with or whitewashed or anything like that, show all these people as being so-called black. Something that we understand through the scriptures. And so, you know, when people would send me that information, I'd send it around and stuff like that just to confirm what we already know. But at the same time, I point out to people who are not part of this ministry that that information we've been privy to for years. And so it's no new information for us. But when we look at verse 29, it says, immediately after tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. Shall the sun be darkened? Now, wisdom reveals that the sun shows signs and wonders on its own. There are times when, and I have videos of what I'm about to say. There are times when I have showed or did a video showing the sun and the moon in the same sky. You can look one direction and see the sun. You can look another direction and see the moon. And what they have attempted to make us believe, and then dupe us into not looking up because we think something is going to happen to our eyes, is when an eclipse is going on, not to look up. Because they don't want you to realize that moon is still over there, even though that sun is eclipsing. And so what the Bible reveals to us in verse 29 is that the sun is darkened on its own. Also, the moon is darkened. The moon shall not give her light. So when we look at it, both the sun and the moon is revealing what is revealing signs. Okay, is revealing signs or omens, as when we look at the definition as far as signs are concerned. And so the sun eclipses on its own, and it doesn't need the moon to cover it. The moon eclipses on its own, and it doesn't need the sun to cover it. But they try to make us believe that lie. But those are signs from Yah concerning things that that he said in his word. And I'll pull it up. I'll pull up another Bible here and just look at Genesis chapter 1. let me just type it in, cause I think I'm moving too fast to. Yeah, I was just moving fast. Verse 14 said, Yah said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs." When we look at the word signs, it says a signal, as a flag, beacon, monument, omen, evidence, okay, mark, miracle. And so the sun, when you look to the right of the screen, when the sun is darkened, that's a sign. Okay, that's a sign. And it doesn't need the moon in order for Yah doesn't need to use the moon to cover the sun in order to manifest that sign. The sun manifests the sign of by being darkened. Verse 29. Okay, verse 14 to the left of the screen, and Yah said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years." Okay, and so we're to understand it from what Yah told us in the scriptures in Genesis 1. Then we get back to verse 29 of Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. So these three events have to take place in order for it to be the sign of the Son of Man. Verse 30. And so we just can't have an eclipse. And then said, this is a sign where Christ is returned. Foolishness when we don't let the scriptures teach us and come up with our own understanding or conclusion on how things work. And that's what you see taking place with people. They're making all these predictions based upon their own understanding. And my goal as your pastor is to encourage you not to do that. And then at the same time, we'll understand what we have to do when we do start making predictions or saying certain things. Okay, so that lets us know that we have nothing to look forward to from a perspective of our nation on April the 8th. One other reason reveals this fact is people are making these predictions on April the 8th. in verse 36 clearly says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Christ didn't even know. Okay? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So the mere fact that people are predicting things on April the 8th, let me know that I can cross my legs, sit back, relax, and don't have a thing to be concerned about on that day. Because there's only one who knows when verse 29 through 31 or so is going to take place, okay? And so, you know, so when you look at the mindset of these people, they make these predictions based upon what's called a black swan event. Okay. The phrase black swan event was popularized in 2001 by Nassim Nicholas Taleb, a Lebanese American statistician and essayist. Was somebody going to help me with that?
Oh, I was going to say statistician.
Okay, statistician. I don't know why I was trying to say statistician. Thank you. And essayist to describe unforeseen happenings in the financial world with cascading consequences. Well, you get people that are now using this term to try to identify events that is unforeseen. And so you get these people come by, you know, well this is what the Lord showed me, or these things are going to take place, and you know how history repeats itself and stuff like that. And so they start making these unforeseen predictions, you know, of things happening and stuff like that. And so that's what a black swan event is. And so I wanted to address that from the term that I've been hearing people that's been coming to me with certain information, and they're calling it black swan events and stuff like that. And the funny thing about it is every time they come to me with a prediction of a black swan event, I always, you know, laugh to myself, and then I respond to them in a manner that says, you know, in a nutshell, you know, Yah is giving me peace about the situation, and these things are not going to take place. And they will respond back to me swearing up and down, you watch and see. And then when that day or time frame passed, don't hear nothing about it no more. Because they're making their predictions based upon the minds of men instead of the wisdom of Yah. And we don't want to do that, okay? So, in order to deal with this, there are some things that Yah has given to me to give to you so that you will be prepared and never be in the dark behind some things. And I'm just going to give you two examples of this here before we actually go into the scriptures. Did anybody have anything to say real quick?
Yeah, I have a comment. I don't know where y'all take you, but I'm just saying, like, especially based on all the things that we've dealt with up until this point, or even if you just, you know, read in the scripture, you know that the Antichrist has to make an agreement with many, you know, for 7 years. Like, so until that happens, some of these other things can't happen, right? So that tells you, and we know that he's going to break it in the midst of the 7 weeks, which, you know, it's 3.5 years. So that until that happens, these other things can't happen, right? Like, if you're going to believe the Bible to be the infallible word of God, and you know that God's word don't return unto him void, and those things have been declared, then these things must happen before you can say, well, Christ gonna return. No, he's not. Some these other stuff have to happen first. And then, you know, we can look for the next signs to come.
And I mean, and that's true, and that's why it's important for us to understand what Yah has revealed to us in His Word. That's vitally important for us to understand, and so that's one of the reasons why I'm not moved by certain things that said, because we spent enough time in the Scripture to know certain orders of things and certain things to look for based upon what Yah has said in the Scriptures, and that keep us within the boundaries of Yah's will, instead of jumping out there start making predictions based upon what we feel like is taking place in the world. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why people are so deceived behind who the true nation of Israel is. And that's why I had mentioned, you know, Putin earlier, because, man, people have been responding since he opened those vaults, and you got all races of people responding, and some of them are saying, man, no, you know, those are not the real people of Israel. And then you have other nations saying, yeah, they are. And I've felt that all along. And for that information to come out, you know, just, you know, it just confirmed what I've been feeling in my heart, that those were the people. And so you got all kinds of information that's coming out as you know, the result of it. And the reason why I made the statement that, hey, it's no surprise to us, because we've allowed the Scriptures to show us that we didn't need for someone to open up vaults to show us who we are, but the Scriptures, by the leading of the Spirit of Yah, has revealed to us who we are. Okay, and so that is vitally important that we understand the Scriptures, so that when these black swan events are predicted, you know, we'll know, I ain't concerned about that. It's not in the timeline. It's not according to certain events that the Scriptures say must take place in order for us to know that there are certain things we need to be preparing for. Well, there is also another method that I want to reveal to you in reference to understanding what's going on. And I'm going to remind you of two things that I stated some years ago, and then show you in the Scriptures of why I stated those things and they came to pass I told those things before they actually came to pass, and when they did, you know, come to pass, it was right in line with what I had said or written. The first one was back, I believe it was January 1st, 2020, where Yah had told me to write some things down, and what I wrote, he was going to do it exactly the way that I wrote it. Well, when he said that to me, first thing that came to mind, well, I was very careful about what I put to pen and paper, so to speak, because for Yah to say whatever I write is what he was going to do, you know, I was very cautious. But then at the same time, I knew that what I was writing was going to be from him in the first place. And that's my reason for approaching it with caution, because I wanted every word to be something that Yah was revealing, although he said he would do whatever I had written down. Well, what I said on January 1st, 2020, was that there was some events that was basically, let me just paraphrase, there were some things that was going to take place, and when they did, that the world would never be the same again. That's what I said in a nutshell. And I said some other things, but I can't paraphrase it word for word what I said it when I said it. But any form of social media that you have access to, you can go all the way back to January 1, 2020 and read it. And not too much longer after that, COVID hit. And the world hasn't been the same since. I also said that Trump would lose the election. Not this one that's coming up, but the one that he actually did lose. And I explained why he would lose. And a few days later, he lost that election. That can also be seen if you go back during the time frame of the election when he was running for office, you know, I'll say his second term, and he ended up losing. Well, Yah had shown me that he was going to lose, and I wrote it down and was very, you know, when things like that happen, I'm very bold about what I say, and I'll speak it. When y'all speak to me like that, I'll speak it. I'm very confident in it, not because it's me, but because I know who gave it to me, and I know it's going to happen exactly the way that he did. With that in mind, I want to reveal to you the process by which we don't have to be concerned about black swan events. As Elder mentioned, we know what the scriptures say, but what other methods can we use or know in order to be able to not be surprised when things happen? We go to Amos chapter 3, and I read verses 1 through 7. Amos chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Hear this word that Yah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying," and history is going to repeat itself from that perspective, because the word reveals to us all Israel is coming out. That's why I say all Israel, the whole family, the ones who are following the laws and statutes and judgments, and wicked Ray Ray and all them, the whole family of Israel is coming out, like the same way the whole family came out of Egypt. So it says, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, we use verse 3 for a lot of things, and it's true when we look at the process of agreement. You know, there has to be agreement. And other than that, we can't be on the same page unless we're on one accord in agreement. Well, what Yah is using when we look at it in the contextual meaning of the contact with me, excuse me, let me get some water. My throat is kind of dry. So when we look at the contextual meaning of Amos 3 and 3, we have to associate it with verse 1 and 2, where Yah is like, look, there are some things that I did with you as a nation of people, and you only have I known of all the families of the earth. And we made an agreement, and you broke this agreement. And so Yah was saying to our nation, can two, as in you and I, Israel, walk together except we be in agreement? Can I be your God and you be my people without there being an agreement? Because when we look at Exodus 19, when we look at Exodus 19, I just read verse 4. Yah say, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. I started verse 4. Unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wing and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Thus Amos 3, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Okay. Peculiar treasure unto me to the left of the screen, verse 5. Above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And verse 7 said, Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words unto the people, words of the people unto Yah. Can two walk together except they be agreed, to the right of the screen? So Yah was letting our nation know, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquity. Because you the only one that I made this agreement with. And you agreed. Now, I am Yah and you are the people, but can we walk together? Can we be on one accord unless there is agreement between us? And so he gives the example. I'm going to get out of Exodus. So he gives examples in order to know what it takes in order for agreement to work. In order for our nation to understand what it takes for agreement to work. Verse 4, he says, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? No, he don't. That's not an agreement. Why would a hungry lion let all the prey know where it is? So the lion has to agree with its hunting by knowing that it can't make noise. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? That's not agreement. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin or trap is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and Yah hath not done it? Okay, so in order to understand agreement, Yah said, when there's evil done in the city, you got to know that I am in agreement with the evil that's done in the city, because evil never takes place in a city without me being privy to it. Are in agreement with it. But our minds are so narrow that we'll look at the destruction of that city and we'll say, man, that's just a terrible thing. And people who don't understand, you know, anything about Yah will turn around and blame Yah and say, well, why would he let something like that take place? All those people was hurt or killed or whatever in that city. Why would Yah allow those things to take place? We have to understand the mind of Yah, that he sees things that we don't see. And so when we see evil things take place, then we have to understand that there is something going on where Yah in the greatness and the loving mindset that he have is in agreement with things taking place. Because there's something that we in our small peon mind can't wrap our minds around, But Yah, in all his wisdom, is dealing with something based upon what it has done, that he is now in agreement for its judgment. And so it shows how Yah operates, and how we as the children of Yah must always approach every circumstance in wisdom and understand that Yah doesn't allow anything to take place that he is not in agreement with. That's a deep understanding. Okay. Now, verse 6 again says, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and Yah hath not done it? Surely the Lord Yah will do nothing." Now the lesson is getting ready to start now. And we have to have confidence in this verse. "Surely the Lord Yah will do nothing, but he reveal it, his servants, his secret unto his servants, the prophets." The reason why I have so much confidence in what Yah is doing is because, one, we understand the scriptures, and two, I know that there is no such thing as a black event, because any event that Yah deems necessary for us to know, he gonna reveal. Ain't nothing out there secret. From a perspective of what Yah knows. And because it's not a secret to Yah, Yah said, "I'm not gonna do nothing." You go back up to verse 6 now. "Shall there be evil in the city? And Yah has not done it." Then he says, "Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealed his servants, his secrets unto his servants, the prophets." Now, what are secrets? A session by implication, intimacy, consultation. Okay, secret counsel. Yes, there are things that are secret. He said, "But I won't do nothing without warning my prophets." If you look at our nation, that's why when you go back up to verse 1. It says, "Hear this word that Yah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt," saying, Yah never brought destruction on our nation in secret. He always spoke through his prophet. The things that he was going to do, he would send his prophet to warn. And once his prophet warned, he brought to pass exactly what he warned about. That's why verse 2, he says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity." The prophets warned us. Yah warned us. Wasn't nothing secret about it. Now, as someone who Yah reveals secrets to, we know that Yah is going to judge every nation. So when these nations are judged, there ain't no secret. because it's been revealed. It's been revealed to his servants. So, as Elder pointed out, there are some things we understand as far as the scripture is concerned, because Yah revealed these things to his servants, the prophet. That's one of the reasons why I make statements often in certain lessons that I was born to unseal the scriptures. Things that we look at in the scriptures that were secrets, Yah is revealing, because he's saying, I can't do these things without revealing to my servants what I'm going to do. I can't have my servants shocked and surprised and caught off guard when wickedness happens in the cities that they live in and the nations that they live in. Yes, I'm not keeping this stuff a secret. And anything that's happening as far as an event that's not written in the scriptures, Yah said, I still won't do it without showing you first. So, using this as far as an example is concerned, April the 8th means nothing, absolutely nothing to me. I'm not going to do anything differently that I would do. I'm not afraid. I'm not nervous. None of that stuff is going on, because I know that I have a relationship with my God, that if something I should be concerned about was going to take place on that day, he would reveal it to his servant, the prophet. And I warn you as a church and say, look here, y'all, we got to keep our heads up. This is what Yah is saying he's going to do. And we got to have confidence in that. Verse 7, surely the Lord Yah will do nothing. What's on the side? Nothing. Nothing. Surely the Lord Yah will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Yah is going to show us ahead of time. Yah is going to deal with us in a manner. If all of you think about certain encounters that you've had with tragedy in one fast or another, you've gone in grocery stores or been in certain situations to where your spirit, for lack of a better way to put it, was not settled. You felt like something was wrong. You felt danger, and you left that area, or there were certain changes you made. You may have been driving down the road, and then all of a sudden you felt led that you need to slow down, or you felt led that you need to exit off the freeway and do these different things. That's because Yah is revealing to his servants, the prophets, for lack of a better way to put it, he's revealing to his servants things that's about to take place. And you have to understand that same leading is going to take place across the board. I don't know if this to be factual, but I have heard people make this statement, say when 9/11 hit, there are some people said that they were led to stay at home that day. And so, although you will get people who don't understand how Yah work, that will say that was one of those, you know, black events, there were some people who was privy to the information, that Black Swan event. There were some people who were privy that something was wrong that day. So they said, instead of going to the office, Yah led me to stay at home that day. You can see many reports of people saying, I was getting ready to get on the plane and I felt a leading not to get on the plane. I didn't get on the plane. Plane ended up crashing. I was getting ready to go down the freeway. Yah has Yah has led me in many ways. There's been time when I had gotten up and was felt like I was behind schedule and was, you know, trying to hurry up and stuff. It seemed like one thing after another was happening to slow me down. And finally, I yield to the Spirit and say, wait a minute, let me just slow down here. Because I'm having a difficult time of moving in the time frame that I want to move in. So let me move in the time frame that I'm being led to move in. Drive down the freeway, and lo and behold, there's a wreck. And I was like, man, who knows? If I had been in my own time frame, I might have been a part of that wreck. So we have to be confident. We have to have confidence in verse 7 that Yah, whatever you're doing, you will not hide your secrets from me, but you will reveal to me what is needed in order to sustain my life. I don't have to listen to folks and go rush to the grocery store and try to buy up everything in the grocery store, because what Yah is revealing to us is the way that we should move. And it's vitally important that we understand that. Let's look at another example of this, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, we'll start at verse 16. It's when Yah was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18, verse 16 said, and the men rose up from this and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And Yah said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing. Let me say this. I gotta stay on that word seeing for a while. Yah has to see something in us. Yah is not gonna reveal his secrets to just anybody. There's something that has to be seen in us. What is it? Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. What? Know him how? That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of Yah to do justice and judgment, that Yah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. Yah said, look here, I reveal things to you because I know you and you have a destiny. And I'm not going to allow you to be put in a position where that destiny is not accomplished in you, because I know you and I know your justice and your judgment. You're willing to do for me, and you're willing to teach your children for me. You're willing to follow my law, statutes, and judgment and obey me to the best of your ability. You think you're going to have a relationship with me and I'm seeing that you are like that and I know you? I'm going to show you everything. So you have to be confident. I'm talking to you personally, each one of you personally. You have to be confident to know that Yah know you enough to tell you stuff that he not telling everybody else. You have to be confident enough to know that Yah is saying, I will not do anything without telling you. Because I know you, and I know you'll obey, and I know you'll stand for me. And I know you'll submit to me in every way I have decreed. And I have a destiny for your life. And so I'm going to show you all things that goes on in order for you to continue in what I've decreed for you to be. So if y'all are not showing us, don't worry about it. Verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yah to do justice and judgment, that Yah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Y'all seeing that? Verse 17 again before I move on. And Yah said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Yah never hide from his servants, the prophets, the thing that he is about to do. We don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man come, Matthew 24, but we know the season. How do we know the season? We'll go back to Matthew 24 real quick. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the season. As the other pointed out, we know the scriptures, and the scriptures reveal to us seasons. Okay? Verse 32 says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, ye shall know summer is nigh. I have a fig tree. And the fig tree now is blooming leaves. I was out there trimming off old dead leaves today. It lets me know that summer is near because I see the leaves. Verse 33 says, so likewise, the same way I know something is near because I see the leaves on my fig tree, so likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. There are things that I'm seeing where I know from the scriptures, what the scriptures has revealed, that the season is near for the return of Christ. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know we're in the season. Yeah, Psalms 84 really hit this home. It really hits home what when we read Psalms 84, verse 11. Psalms 84, verse 11 says, for the Lord Yah is a sun and shield. Yah will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. I know he gonna show me stuff. I know he's not gonna withhold information from me. Now I encourage you to have the same confidence in Yah as I do, because you walk uprightly. I know I'm Yah's boy. Now you should know that you Yah's boy or girl also. Why? Because you walk uprightly. I got to say it like I heard in the spirit. When you deal with me, you're dealing with a son of a gun. Because I know he speaks. can't speak for everybody else, but I know doggone I can speak for me. That God of mine don't withhold nothing from his servant. Now I'm going to tell you why. I'm not just a servant. Verse 15, Christ is talking here. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. How many hear my voice can say with confidence that they're God's friend? A slave don't know what his master does, but a friend does. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you.
Can I add something?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Which is interesting, because I was looking this up right as you said what you said, right? Because what would come to me on that other side, right? So when you have the world out there making a declaration about something, those aren't friends of God, right? So James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and ye adulteresses, know ye that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So why would God be sharing what he's doing with his enemies?
Read verse 4 again and then make your comment, because I'm there now. Go ahead and read it again.
It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So you have all these people out here making these declarations about stuff who are enemies of God, then we know that ain't true. Why would God give the revelation of what he's doing to people who are his enemies? If you friendly with the world, then he ain't giving you information about what's about to go down. So let's look at the contrasting things, right? So when Putin revealed what he revealed about, you know, the original Hebrews being black, that didn't go over well. You got people, there are some people that acknowledge it to be true, but you got a lot of people like, okay, that ain't true, right? So it's almost like that revelation is out there, but a lot of people don't want to receive that. But conversely, you have this other information out here that can spread like wildfire, and everybody want to eat that up, right? So it's like, okay, if you're a friend of the world, then why is God revealing stuff to you? When he clearly says in Scripture, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God.
Amen. And that's how we have to understand what Yah's doing. Now, when you look at verse 4, the latter part is that whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of Yah. On the other hand, whoever is a friend of Yah is an enemy of the world. That's why I don't move according to the world's standard, because the world is my enemy. Because I'm the friend of Yah. And I know that the world gonna hate me for the name of Christ. So I don't move by that standard. That's why when they start showing all that stuff on the news and all that kind of stuff, this is going to happen, and this is, we sit up here, they start showing you weather report. We sit up here and the weather is going to come in, and it looks like it's going to be tornadoes everywhere and stuff like that. You just making these black swan predictions. You don't know what's going to happen. Next day be just the sun and don't nothing go down. Then before you know it, the next day it's raining like they said it was going to rain the day before, because they can't predict what Yah reveals in secret, because they're the enemy of Yah. So all they can do is throw out their Black Swan events and cause us to respond accordingly or operate in fear. And you know that old saying, the very thing, as Job said, the very thing I fear the most has come up on me. Have you ever thought about your thinking is the reason why a lot of stuff has happened as far as the weather? Because the minute they give you a Black Swan event, you take it and start preparing for it and gearing up for it and don't realize you may be the one or we may be the one that's opened up the door for the event. Well, I don't move by what they say. I move by Yah. You move by Yah. All right? We're the friend of Yah. We have to have confidence in that. James 2, and I'm done. I'm going to just read verse 23. You can read John 15 on your own time, Psalms 84 on your own time, and Genesis 18 on your own time, scriptures that we've covered. James 2, verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed Yah, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yah. Now you understand why Yah said, will I do anything without telling you first? Abraham was the friend of Yah. We have to understand that we are the friends of Yah. And not only do we understand it from a mental perspective, but we have to understand it from a hearing and comprehension and walking in what we understand. I'm gonna say this, y'all listen to this fool boast for a minute that y'all may be glorified. I know I'm a friend of Yah. And I walk in confidence when it comes to information that comes from Yah. And I know, hear me, y'all, I know that nothing takes place without him showing his prophet. So when things start going down, I'm not surprised for two reasons. I understand the scriptures, and I know I'm a friend of Yah. Now you take that same mentality from this night forward, if you don't already have it. Take the same mentality and know, look, I understand the scriptures. We're learning the scriptures. Because certain things that Yah said must take place. And until those things take place, then I'm not concerned. What I mean by concern, I'm talking about from a negative point of view. I'm not concerned in a negative way. And then you have to have the mindset that, look, I am a friend of Yah. And since I'm a friend of his, he gonna always show me what I need to know. That's why I always tell people, I don't know everything, but I know what I need to know. I guarantee you that. I know what I need to know. And if I don't know it, it's because Yah said it ain't important enough for you to know. If it becomes important enough for you to know, trust me, I will tell you. So when I make that statement, I'm not making it in sarcasm when I say, I don't know everything, but I know what I need to know because I understand I'm a friend of Yah. And Yah not going to do anything without first revealing it to his prophets. Okay. And so remember that when you have someone who comes to you with all these events and, "John, they poisoning the food. And since they poisoning the food, every time we sit down and eat some of it, man, we running the risk of dying." Yah reveals to his servants, the prophets, "There are plenty of time when I've sit down to eat some food and I took one bite out of it and Yah said, no. Put that down. That ain't right. Even when it was healthy food." I'm not worried about what the world is doing, because I'm a friend of the Most High Yah, who is doing greater things. And you have the access, you have the access to be the same friend to Yah as Abraham or anyone else who's operating uprightly. So from now on, move around with that kind of confidence, knowing that you are a friend of Yah. All right, I'm done. If there's no questions or comments, we good? Okay.
Hey, I got a question.
Go ahead.
I know they tell you that in the Bible it says, "God is the one who is God." That's why we should look for them. They'll tell us what we need to know. And that's what aids people to come up with some of these predictions and stuff. The false religion and stuff like that too. The Bible said, I'm not looking it up just now.
You need to speak up more clearly. I couldn't hardly understand you.
Well, I said, some people say that the Bible says we should look for signs and wonders in the sky. For
answers and stuff like that. And I don't think I found that in the Bible. It says that. I'll tell you what it does say. Jeremiah 17. Let me see. I was thinking Jeremiah 17, but let me to answer your questions. I may be quoting it wrong. Thank you. I'm not quoting it, but the scriptures does reveal. Let me type in one more word here. If I don't, I'll just. I can't really find it right off right now, but he tells us he warned our nation that we don't be, for lack of a better way to put it, dismayed or follow the signs in heaven. We were warned about that as a nation because that's what the heathens did. And I know it's in the book of Deuteronomy, but I can't remember which book it is in. And so it is written in the scriptures that we are not to follow the signs of heaven. And I wish I could find out. I could if I just took my time, but since it's so late, what?
Okay, yeah, that'd be something. I hear a lot of people say that. So, a lot of the
churches
would say,
you know,
oh, yeah, look at the
one. What was it, Jeremiah 23? 32. 32. I don't think that's it either, but let me just look for the. I know it's in the book of Deuteronomy. You said 32?
Yeah.
In what verse? That's not what I'm looking for. No, he specifically told our nation not to follow the let me try one more thing and then I'll the closest one at this point is Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, 19. I'm going to just read verse 19. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19 said, "Lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should it be driven to worship them." What is worship? What is worship? To pay homage to submit to. You say idolize, but I'm careful about identifying as idolized because we worship Yah. So because we worship Yah, we submit to Yah. And so what verse 19 is saying, that we're driven to submit to signs in heaven, the hosts of heaven. That we look for stars and moon. We look at the stars, the moon and the sun, and we're driven to worship them, not from a perspective of just, you know, getting down on our knees, but it's more than that. It's to pay homage to submit to. And you get some people who are looking for signs in heaven, and they are submitting to that. That's what the wise men did. That's why they knew the sign, the sign and said, we have seen this star, you know, concerning Christ. They're like, we've seen this star, because they were paying homage to the signs. And so you get people that look at actual event like this eclipse that's coming up, and they're driven to submit to those things. Right now you got people who are submitting to the eclipse and then saying there's something going to happen as a result of that. Well, we don't submit to the signs in heaven. We submit to the word and the leading of Yah.
Right.
Okay. So we're not looking up in the sky on January the 8th trying to figure out or looking for some kind of destruction, because we do. We are now worshiping the eclipse. Okay? And so that's how we have to understand. So Deuteronomy 4 is a good example I want to use. We good? Any questions, comments? If not, I'm done. Does it?
Yeah. Well, in the context of what we've been talking about.
Okay. Let's go there. You go ahead and read the verse since you found it.
Okay. It says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord: Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen."
That's why I kept putting in the word dismay, because I knew dismay was in that verse, and Jeremiah 10 was what I was looking for. So I'm glad you found it. Read it again, 1 and 2 again. Jeremiah 10, 1 and 2, read it again.
It says, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain."
And that's what we have to understand. Even if we're Israel, of the nation of Israel, and we're trying to look at this eclipse that's coming on January 8th and trying to say it's our deliverance and
April 8th.
What did I say?
January
8th. April 8th, and saying that this is the time when 400 years is up and we're going to be gathering all that. Them the ways of the heathen. We don't go by that kind of stuff. We ain't looking up in the signs of heaven in order to determine that until those signs fall in line with Yah's word. When I see the sun darken and the moon not giving her light and all the stars falling from heaven, wait, let me look up. Okay, and that's how we understand. So I'm glad you found Jeremiah 10, because that's exactly the verse that I was looking for. All right. Any other questions or comments? You good? All righty. Father Yah, we just bless your name, and we thank you for revealing to us that the word keeps us bound to the foundation of truth, and also because we are a friend of you, that you will reveal secrets to us so that we'll know how to operate in our divine path. And we just bless you for that understanding, and we submit to it, and we have confidence in it wholly, that we are the friend of Yah, friends of Yah, and we bless you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.